video, if there's radio, for every platform that is used, that your word may come forth, Lord. We thank you for it. And so we say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk a little bit today about fierce and awesome fathers. And this is based on Proverbs 23, 24, and various scriptures to describe great dads. Okay? Now, as always, it's a pleasure being here, of course. And God bless you for your obedience in assembling together. Someone listened to the voice of a small child and said, we got to get to church. And that is a blessing to hear that a child wants to go to church to meet Jesus. Those words rang so in me, because when our young one, when William, I'm sorry, I have to adjust my glasses. When William was young and we were in Sunday school, having Sunday school, and pastor asked each one of us, why is it that you come to church? And so we were, of course, we were giving our great theological answers. And he asked, William was just kind of trotting across, you know, from one side of the room to the other. I don't know where he was going, you know, but pastor asked William, William, why do you come to church? And he looked up, he said, to see Jesus. And went right on about his way. So thank you, Langston, for wanting to come to church to see Jesus. Because that's why we come. Because we want to see, get a glimpse, get a view of the living Savior. And we get a view of the living Savior through his word and through his worship. It is what that in our coming together, as Hebrews 10:25 says, that we get to know the Lord and we get to know his people. The Bible tells us to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's why we get together. That's why we come together, because of the love that we have, not only for God, but the love that we have for one another. And so I just want to let you know that if you don't hear these words from my mouth again, and I'll be back on the 26th, I love you. Why? Because I love God. And in loving God, I must love you like I love me. And you can best believe I love me. Okay? So know that I love you. And so in that, I want you to know too that I love your pastor. And I love his wife, Bobby. And I'm praying that we got the report that so far on their trip, they're having a wonderful time and that they're getting the much needed rest and relaxation and learn a lot from their trip so that they can come back full and be ready to pour out into each one of you what it is that they've learned, what it is that the Lord has shown them. You know, and that's all a part of loving as well. Now, how many of you have been where they're visiting? Okay, neither have I. So we got something in common. None of us have been there. I'd like to go one day, drag my husband with me. Okay, now let's get to the sermon. You know, but before doing so, I always want to bring up something funny. A child asked his father, Dad, how were people born? So his father said, oh, Adam and Eve made babies. Then their babies became adults and made babies, and so on and so on. The child then went to his mother and asked her the same question. And she told him, well, we were monkeys. Then we evolved to become like we are now. Furious, the boy ran back to his father and said, you lied about how we were born. You lied. Mom said we were monkeys, evolved to be like we are now. His father replied, no, son, I didn't lie. Your mom was talking about her side of the family. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was a great dad joke too. Fierce and awesome fathers is what we're going to be talking about today. I was watching early morning news as they were reporting a story of a mom whose children were in trouble and she was going to their rescue. I heard one of the newscasters talk about the fierceness and the awesomeness of a mother when her child or her children trouble strikes them, and how she's like a mama bear ready to defend. And that's what we always thought when we think about mothers and children. We always think of them, you know, as not only loving and nurturing and caring and supporting, but we think of them too. We think of mothers as fierce. And, you know, when things happen to their kids, they go out there tooth and nail, not even concerned about their own safety or their own welfare or their own health. We look at mothers and how it is that when it comes down to that, for those that are impoverished or whatever, if they have, you know, food, the first people that they're going to feed are home. Their children. They won't take anything from their children. And once they figure it out, they'll go out and do whatever it needs to be done in order to support and to sustain their children. I know I'm a mother. And even to this day, I still am concerned and keep in contact with, and any way that we can help. I want my children to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's just it. I'm a mother. And so I'm always going to be concerned about my children. Well, that statement struck a nerve in me, because we always hear of mothers, whether human or animal, coming to the defense of their helpless babies. And that's not fair. That's what I was thinking. That's not fair that we just put that out there for mothers. You know, of course, in any type of situation, when we see, you know, calamity coming to the family is falling apart. Oftentimes, who gets the children? The mother. Because that's what the courts look at. The mother as the provider, the mother as the nurturer, the mother as the one who can take care of the children best. But that's just not fair, I thought. What about the fierceness and awesomeness of a dad doing the same thing? Don't good fathers do the same thing? And why are we so hard pressed to tell or hear about that? Rarely do we hear of fathers going out and making sure that their children are totally taken care of. Did you know that 16% of society, or just a little over 16% of society's single parents are fathers? And that's up from 2007, where it was 12%. We've got single fathers that are out there taking care of their children, and not only taking care of their children, but loving it, supporting them, making sure that they have good health care, making sure that they have a good education, making sure that they are well maintained, making sure that they look good, making sure that they have everything that they need in order to make it through today's society, making sure that their mental health is taken care of. There are a lot of fathers out there that are by whatever, however it is, they've become single parents. They are out there doing the do. After hearing all of that, it prompted me to want to give fathers their props and honor some special fathers in my life. And so I guess you would call this a pre-Father's Day message. I'm not going to be here next week. We're going to have the privilege of having Sister Mary get up here and speak. Hallelujah. Amen. There are two very special fathers that I would like to honor. However, they'll come later. And I'm talking about my husband and my dad. Also, I want to give you 10 scriptures on being a great dad. And I found this on the internet, of course. And it's taken from allprodad.com. Yes, there is a website that is pro dad, and I thought that was just wonderful. You know, we've got women out on the internet everywhere, but when I found All Pro Dad, I was like, look at this. Props to the man, you know? Let me share some of them with you. And what I'm trying to say is that we find some very great fathers and father figures in the Bible. And I want to share some of them with you. And some of them you probably are already familiar with. Now, there are lists of important fathers in the Bible on the web. However, I just want to feature just three of them right now, five of them, including my husband and my father, but three of them right now. Number one is Abraham, who was the father, per se, of Lot, Ishmael, and Isaac. And we find these in Genesis 14, 16, chapters 14, 16, and chapter 21. Now, Lot was not really Abraham's son, yet he was in the protective care of Abraham, because Abraham, when God told him to get away from his country and from his father's house and from his family and whatnot, that he was going to send him out to do what it is that he called him to do, and he was going to make Abraham a great nation, he took Lot with him. Lot apparently needed care. I don't know what happened. The scripture doesn't say what happened to his dad or anything like that, but Lot was found in the care of Abraham. And Lot, after being separated from Abraham because their flocks and whatnot got too big to be in the country where they were, they moved away. And Lot and Abraham offered him, you know, a land here. You can either go here or you can go there. And so Lot chose his place, chose his lot, no pun. But Abraham went opposite him. And so there it was during the time of the War of Kings. And so kings strut their stuff and they try to take over, bully people or whatever, you know. And that Lot was caught in the middle of all of that. But one day Abraham learned that King Kedorlaomer is his name. King Kedorlaomer took Lot and his family and his possessions. And of course, when you are taken, when you are snatched up by somebody else, they're going to more than likely make you become what? Slaves. You know, you're going to be at their mercy. You're going to do their bidding. They're going to take over whatever it is that you have. And somebody came back to Abraham while Abraham was working or, you know, minding his business or whatever, and told him, look, this is what happened during the war. King Kedorlaomer got Lot and all of his possessions, his wife, his girls, he got them all. And Abraham jumped up and was like, not today. He gathered up over 300 of his men, went riding out there on whatever it is that they were riding on, donkeys or horses, and he went and got his nephew back, a fierce and awesome dad going to the rescue of his child. Now, like I said, Lot was not necessarily his son, but he was a son to him then. And he went out and he got back. He fought whoever it was that they had to fight. They circled the camp. They took over and they chased them boogers out of there and chased them away and got Lot back, his family, and all of his possessions, and was honored by the king of Salem, King Melchizedek. And the king looked and honored Lot, Abraham, for doing what he did and making sure that his people were taken care of. He brought Lot back safe. And that's what fierce and awesome dads do. They keep their family safe. They make sure that they're protected. They make sure that no predator or enemy is coming in to get them, to get to their children. They say, and Jesus lets us know that when we mess with children, we are messing with the kingdom of God. And there is a certain justice that goes out to those that mess with children. Jesus said that anybody that hurts a child, a millstone should be placed around their neck and they be thrown where? Into the sea. I still say that today. You know, folk don't believe in capital punishment. I do. Throw them in the sea because they have no business tearing up the life of a child. Children are just getting started in life. Children need care. Children need nurturing. Children need to be taught in the way that they should go. And that is the way of salvation, the way of Jesus Christ. And so Abraham brought his family back, you know, because God ordered that in him to be a fearsome and awesome dad. Now he had the son Ishmael, who was born by Hagar. Ishmael was not the son of promise, nevertheless, a son of Abraham. And the Bible indicates that Abraham cared deeply for this boy. And God cared even more by giving Ishmael a promise of becoming a great nation, which he did. Abraham cared for this boy. He loved this boy. He raised this boy for 13 years. He had Ishmael with him. And I'm sure that he was teaching Ishmael the way of God. That's all he could do. Why? Because that's all Abraham knew, was the way of God. But then Isaac comes along, and Isaac is the son of promise to Abraham and Sarah, through whom all nations of the earth would be blessed. God told Abraham that he and Sarah would have a son, and that Isaac, through Isaac, everybody that's on this planet, even from then, even to now, would be blessed when we follow after the ways of God, when we follow after the teachings of the Lord, when we follow after Jesus Christ. Now, number two, the father of the prodigal son, which can be found in Luke 15, 11, 32. I'm sure a lot of us know the story. Here it is that we see patience and compassion and love and excitement in this story. Patience because this father had this son who was living in rebellion, gonna tell him what to do, and I'm my own man, and I can do my own thing, and this is my life. You know how we did when we were younger. You know, we let people know, you don't need to tell me this. I know. Here it is. We barely spit out of somebody's mouth, and we know the world, you know. But this is what this young boy did, and the father loved him. Anyway, gave him what it is that he thought he should have and allowed him to go out into the world to experience what it is that's out there in the world. Now, of course, we know that the son squandered everything. Why? Because he didn't know anything. If he had been listening to his dad, if he had been following after his dad, if he had been working with his dad, he would know something and would know how to manage life. He would know how to step out and do things that needed to be done. He would know how to make sound investments. He would know how to be able to discern people that are around. He would know by listening to his dad. But his dad had patience. And his dad had compassion for the son. So he let him go. There are times when we have to, and I'm talking to you, dads, there are times when you have to let your children go and let them experience life on their own. My husband and I love watching all the detective and the cop stories. I think I love them more so than anybody else, you know, because I live vicariously through all of the detectives and the cops and whatnot. You know, I just love it. But yesterday we were watching SVU, Law and Order SVU, and one of the detectives had a daughter that was just out there. I mean, she had gotten into drugs, she was drinking, you know, doing all kinds of stuff with men. She was just out there. And he kept trying to protect her. He kept trying to not get her in the system. He kept trying to cloak all of the stuff that she was doing. Yet it turned out that she had to go where she needed to go in order to learn what she needed to learn. Did it break his heart? Yes, it did. However, he was very instrumental in her being in the lockup that she was in and experiencing what she needed to experience in order to get her back on track. This prodigal son was similar to that. Got out there and found himself in a place where he could not take any more. So what did he do? He ran back to daddy. And what was daddy doing? Always looking out for his son. Even though he had another son and probably others that were at home, he was still looking for that lost one. Jesus gave a parable of a shepherd who would go out, leave the 99, and if there was a lost sheep out there, he'd go out and find that lost sheep and bring that lost sheep back on his shoulders to put him back in the fold. And here it is. This father was experiencing and displaying patience and compassion for a son living in rebellion. 1 Corinthians 13 is what is known as the love chapter. And it says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love looks over all the faults. Love doesn't keep a record of anything. This father loved this boy back into his kingdom or into his realm. His love and excitement was shown as when he saw the son afar off, he went running to him. And that's how God treats us. And fathers, we have got to emulate what it is that the Bible is teaching. Let me hasten on. The third father that I want to talk about is Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. First, he was betrothed to Mary, but then he found out that she was pregnant, not realizing that it was the Holy Spirit that did this. But when the angel of the Lord came to him and the Spirit told him what needed to be done and why it needed to be done, Joseph obeyed. We need obedient fathers out there, fathers that will listen to the Lord. Joseph obeyed and didn't put Mary away because he wanted to just divorce her quietly and not have any harm come to her. He loved that woman. He loved that woman. And then when Jesus was born, he was a protective father. For every time the angel came to him for him to get away from where trouble was, Joseph packed his family up and obeyed because he needed to protect that baby. He needed to keep Jesus out of harm's way. Why? It wasn't his time to die. And so he made sure that his family was safe, getting them into lands where they could be protected. And he raised Jesus as his own son. There are a lot of fathers out there who will take on a family, an already formed family of mother and children, and raise these children as their own. Why? Because of love and because of obedience to a God who sees that this family needs the protection of someone who will stand up. Not every father will stand up. Now, I look on the internet today and see many fathers that are out there who just won't stand up. They'll allow their family to fall apart. They got kids by this woman. They got kids by that woman. They got kids, and some support them, some don't. But God is calling for fathers. God is calling for men who will stand up and take responsibility of a life that is out there, of a life that needs taken care of a life that needs help, of a life that needs direction, of a life that needs to be loved and cherished and honored. He's calling for fathers to stand up. And that's what Joseph did. He stood up for his family in the face of all kinds of evil that was coming after Jesus, our Savior. God is calling for fathers who will be fathers after his own heart. Now, the last two, I just want to honor real quick before we get, because I see the time is going by. We got to be out of here by when? 10:25? All right, then. So I want to hasten on. I want to honor my dad. And yeah, I'm a